Chancellor Church.
Ms. Pat.
Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
All right, one. One's a good start.
Yeah.
Stand if you like. You can sit down. You can lay down on the ground. Worship any way you want. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, 'cause your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you've mercies for me every day, 'cause your love never fails. Stay the same. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong, the water's deep, but not alone here in the open seas, because your love never fails. The the chasm is far too wide. Never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails.
You stay the same.
You stay the same through the ages, and your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when your oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. For my good.
Yes, you do.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
You make all things work.
You make all things work together for my good.
You stay the same.
Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
Fails.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Sing it now.
You make all things work together for my good.
You stay the same.
You stay the same through the ages, and your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Because your love never changes. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Because your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages, and your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
Do you know he loves you?
Yes.
Because your love never changes. Because I know that you love me. Because your love never changes.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. You're love never changes. It stays the same. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing better than that.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Oh, this is amazing grace.
This is amazing grace.
Yes, it is.
This is a failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. To order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Yes,
this is amazing grace. This is a failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Ready?
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King that conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave.
Worship with me.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Hallelujah.
Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah.
This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. This is amazing grace.
Hallelujah.
This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
You laid down your life,
that I would be set free.
Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, I sing for you, Lord,
Hallelujah.
Because you have done
Praise
it all.
Name,
you laid
Father.
My life on my Father. Father, that I don't have to pay for the sins of my life, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all full of glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Just one word, you heal the broken inside me. Just one word, you revive every dream. Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. And just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a prison that our God can't break through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Jesus, let faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus.
I believe
for greater things, there's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things, there's no power like the power of Jesus.
Let faith arise,
let all agree, there's no power like his power. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Prison that he came through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Oh, nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise your name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise a name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Oh, praise your name makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
Hallelujah. Nothing. There's nothing that he can't do. Whether it's sickness, whether it's whatever it is that you're facing, God can come through. Amen. I love this song because it's not a lot of words. Very worshipful. Just picture yourself in heaven, worshiping the Father. Get that picture in your mind, man. It just worship Jesus. Let's worship him.
God Almighty reigns.
Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Holy, holy, you Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning. Everybody hear me? Is this on?
Yeah.
Well, I began by thanking Sister Vicki over here and for bringing me here this morning. Because of this Parkinson's medication, I tend to black out at times, and I've taken myself off the driver's list. So I still have my license and all that, but because of that, I had a little fender bender last month. And nobody got hurt. It's, you know, exchanged information, one of those kind of things, you know. But I suppose they could have pulled my license then because I was on this medication. But luckily, the police weren't called. So, anyway, until I get some more treatment on this, I don't want to be out there on the road. Might hurt somebody. Thank you, Mike, for that song. That's from Psalm 30, the first one he's saying, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, in my 82 years of life, I've had my share of those nighttime experiences where I wondered if the morning was ever going to come. Many of them have come lately. As tough as those times have been, and as many times as I've been knocked down, by God's grace, I got back up again. No matter how dark the night, I've lived to see the morning. Times and circumstances may change, but God is always the same. He's the one who brought me through every difficulty in the past and promises to be with me every day of the future. Note then in that verse, it says, joy comes. That means I will rise again and be able to rejoice in Him. You know, I went in, I wasn't able to be with you Easter. I had surgery that Wednesday, and they kept me in the hospital another 2 days. I know hospitals are there for a reason, but you didn't want to be there any longer than you have to. Right, Pat Weinhardt back there? So I get up, get ready to go out. I thought I was going to check out, and I said, no, you got to keep another day. You got to be able to empty your bladder completely. If you can't, you're going to have to go home with a catheter, and we don't want to do that either. And, I mean, I was in some pain that night before that where I couldn't sleep, and I was wanting to leave the hospital, and they finally came up with some kind of cocktail that they gave me through the IV that knocked the pain out. And I said, I want to take some of that home. I said, no, can't get that in pill form, I'm afraid. So, again, God answered my cry there. I didn't know if I was going to get any sleep, if I was going to ever leave the hospital, but I did make it out there. And it was his, only because of him that I did that. But you know, I found out that no matter what I'm going through right now, whether it be a test after test, surgery after surgery, one health issue after another, God tells me, don't give up. You see, at times I felt like giving up the whole thing. You know? And he said, no, don't give up until you see the morning. Okay? It may take a while for the morning to come. And I was able to share this with a visitor, with a friend of mine in the hospital before I went in, that he should have faith that God will dry his tears, and even though the night may be long and pain's going to come, morning will surely come. You know, and we can be comforted at night, and that nighttime experiences by the Word of God. As I was sharing with Pat and I at lunch last week, one of the greatest promises in Scripture is from Lamentations 3, 22 through 25. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, for the soul that seeketh him. Jesus said that in this world we will have problems, we will have troubles. As you can tell by the e-prayers that I have even here, and as well as those that come over the internet, we're facing a lot of troubles in this country, and our congregations have this share of challenges as well. And our world is kind of a mess right now. But broadcaster Paul Harvey once said, in times like these, it's helpful to remember that there has always been times like these. In my times, 1968, when I got off the plane in Seattle, Tacoma, after a year in Vietnam, we were told to go to the bathrooms and change into civilian clothes. They were demonstrating outside baby killers, you know. So I've been through a share of troubles that this nation has had before. And there's always been times like, well, what can you do about it? See, the evil one will have an answer to that kind of question. Get over it, he says. You should be able to handle it. What's wrong with you guys? You see, I've been conditioned to think, and we have, many of us have, that if we can't do anything else, we just worry about it and be miserable. We can't fix it. And that's Satan in our mind. To whom can we turn for help? Who are we trusting to solve our problems? Ourselves, others, the politicians, or God? Isaiah writes, you are a God who does what is right, and you smooth out the path ahead of us. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. That's Isaiah 26:33. By trusting God completely, we are no longer at the mercy of circumstances, other people, or our emotions and limitations. So when things go wrong, and they will, I don't want to go wrong with them. I want to try to follow God's leading, stand on his word, his promises, rest in him, and trust he's going to work on our behalf. And that takes, in my case, patience, because I want some remedies now. I want to get healed now. But whatever his plan is the most important one. So many of you have gone through more severe trials than I have. I realize that. So you can provide your own testimonies. And I've seen God at work in those trials as well. But I do promise you that every setback, morning is going to break. Some may ask, what if I don't wake up in the morning? I've asked that one. If you're saved and you don't wake up, you're going to be with Jesus. If you do wake up, Jesus is still going to be with you, right? So, I mean, we got Jesus to think about now. So, as Mark says so often, keep your eye on Jesus. Okay. Mic is open. Thank you.
If you grant me a moment of personal privilege, the most beautiful daughter in the world stands next to me. This is your moment. This is your moment to say hi, Lynn.
Hi.
I told her she didn't say it. And this the lady who flew to D.C. February 2nd. What a trip. And it didn't even have time to come down here, so I was absent. Mark approved. Well, he hasn't approved my absence yet, but February 2nd, I spent several hours with Lynn in a conference room, and she told me that she is now a follower of Jesus. And I just am pleased she's here now for a lot of reasons, but also so you can put a face to that name. And so she came down again, and unfortunately, after 10 more minutes, she heads back to an airport.
Yep.
I think between she and a, can I call him boyfriend? Boyfriend. they are doing a neat contribution to the Treasury of American Airlines.
Yes.
Her friend lives in Dallas. She's in Saginaw, Michigan. So, anyway, it's so fun to look at you from this angle and all of you, and I'm sure some are watching. So, this is Lynn, and she has to depart soon. So, thank you for helping support. Yeah.
I have to share this because every morning Richard is upstairs at his desk. And I walk in, and the first thing he says is, "Careful, Lynn, what you're saying about Mark."
Yep. Every morning.
He just...
Yep.
So anyway, that's...
Yes.
She told me that we have met before, but you know how my memory is.
He forgot.
Yeah, been a few years back, but I was really glad to see her again.
Yes, definitely.
Well, thank you, Mark. Another neat mission is she was down here about 2010, and... I got a call from either Pat or John Weinhardt, and the message was they would come pick us up where we were staying, and they would drive us around D.C., drop us off at this museum, that museum,
yep.
And in an air-conditioned car.
Yep.
I mean, there's a... Jesus in action right there. I'm telling you, it doesn't get any better than that.
Right.
When you got, she was down here with two young daughters who are now in their early 20s
yep.
and doing very well.
Yep.
So, thank you.
Nice meeting you all.
Say goodbye, Lynn. Nice to have you here.
Good morning. It's at the time of year that I'm requesting your prayers for Epiphany. We know we had it's scheduled for President's Day weekend, but they had a riot the week before and we couldn't go in. But we are scheduled to go in on the 24th, 25th, and 26th of May. And I'll have a prayer sheet out next week for you to, you know, put your name on it. For those who don't know, when you put your name on the prayer sheet, they put it in chain link. So we, at the end of the day, we bring a chain around showing how many people pray for these young men. There'll be 20 of them that have volunteered to come. So for 3 days, we'll be in the prison for like 10 hours a day ministering to them and starting them off slow and then going with a big shebang at the end, you know, and have the opportunity to accept Christ. So I want to encourage you to pray for that. And I know some of you donated money last time. I kept it, you know, for this particular time. And I know anybody that wants to donate, they can. I'll have some tickets here if you want it tax deductible. That would be fine. But anyway, it's an exciting time. I mean, I enjoy working with the youth, and Richard's part of that team also. And he'll start it off with a goals talk, talking about goals. you know, because a lot of times we don't set goals. And, you know, you're in prison. There's a lot of time to think, and what's my goals when I get out? So anyway, I encourage you for your prayers for those 3 days, and it's going to come up quick. Thank you.
So I wanted to come up here and share a testimony that happened with Patrick and I Tuesday. His grass was getting really tall, and I suggested, hey, you need to cut your grass. And he was like, yeah, that's a good idea. So we were out, and he has a big pot of land, and he was cutting his grass. We were both in the front. And we start hearing something. He has a hill that goes down like this. And we don't really have too many neighbors over there, so the hill goes down like this, and we heard some stickling, like someone breaking sticks in, like, way over there. And so he thought it was a cow, maybe a horse, because we have a lot of cows and horses and chickens and everything. And he's bent down about yay high, and I'm standing behind him, and he said to back up. So he's bent down, and we notice there's a car with headlights coming down our property on the hill. And he said something isn't right, because there's no road, there's nothing, nowhere for them to come on our property. And so he goes in the back to put the machinery away, and something just did not sit right with me. And I said, go get your gun, because for safety issues, because we didn't know if it was teenagers messing with the property or someone trying to break into the property. And so we're on the back porch watching this car just go back and forth, and there's a barbed wire fence that goes around the property. And, you know, he's like, I'm going to go check it out. So he goes upstairs and grabs his gun, puts it in his pocket, and he goes over there. It is the old 83-year-old woman. We weren't sure what she was doing. We were asking her, wait, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Do you need help? She couldn't hear. She was very everywhere. And sorry, I'm a little nervous. So he's trying to guide her to go back up this hill. And there was no going back up the hill. It was wet. It was too steep. And, you know, we're trying to yell at her from the other side of the fence what to do, and she couldn't hear us really. Well, I told Patrick, you know what, I think it's best if you go call 911 for someone to come and assist us, because we don't know her, we didn't know where she came from or if she had dementia or anything. So I stayed with her, and he went in the house, and I suggested maybe he called a wrecker. And so I told her that we were going to call a wrecker for her because we couldn't get her out. And she yelled at me, no, I don't want you to call a wrecker. Go tell him no. So I went back inside and I said that she doesn't want a wrecker. And so I'm like, who are you on the phone with? And he said, Orange County. And I said, okay. So they told us not to do anything. They said just to stay away. And so we're watching from the house and this lady in the car on the other side of the fence. She's trying to go back and forth, and from her putting the car back and forward into reverse, a spark started, and the front of her car just went up in flames. And I'm, like, freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God, please be with her. Like, I didn't know what to do. And so Patrick had to make the decision whether to jump this fence with the barbed wire and get cut and save her life, or just to let her burn. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I said, she's going to burn alive, because the front of it was smoking and everything. So he went inside to get his fire extinguisher to put it out. So he decided to jump the fence. As soon as he's spraying, I'm on the phone with the police. It starts getting worse. And I'm like, I'm yelling at him, you got to get her out. You got to get her out. And she's like, this poor old lady, she couldn't barely move. She's in her slippers and a nightgown. and so he's trying to get her out, and she's just moving slowly. And God, I felt his presence, and he was there, because that car, it was on fire, but it could have ignited. As soon as he got her out of that car and over to where she was safe away, the car just went up in flames. And I'm on the road, and he's with her. Her name was Ida. And I walked back over where I could see them, and he says, call her sister. This is her phone number. So I call the sister, and she thinks it's a prank call. She doesn't know who I am. And I'm like, my name is Lydia. And I said, I'm with your sister. And I said, her car is on fire. We just got her out of it. And she was like, they're both, I think, in their 80s. And I think she thought I was joking with her. And so I said, where do you live? She lives right next to us, the next house over. And I told her, I'm going to come get you. I said, don't worry about coming in your car. I'm going to come get you. EMS and the fire trucks and the police, they all came blocking the road, and they got the fire out. But the fire could have went through our whole property because the trees were on fire, and it was just crazy. But I am thankful that God was there with us both and that he protected both of them, because they both could have been on fire and they both could have died from it. And I believe it wasn't us, it was God's presence that was there to protect both of them. And it just makes me so happy. And I called my grandma, I'm on the phone with her panicking, and she just said to pray. And so I'm on the road just praying and waiting for EMS. So we went over the next day to go visit her to see if she was okay. And she doesn't have a burn on her. She's completely fine. And she loves to talk. So she said she wants us to come visit her often. So we went over there and we stayed with her for about an hour and just talked and talked and talked. And they told us about their life. So it was pretty exciting. But I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Good morning, church. It's so good to see Tom. I just want to give a quick update about Robert. Right now, he's in hold. If you don't know, his left leg started acting up in a little after December. It got steadily worse till now. He cannot walk. He can stand up for about 4 seconds, and he's to transfer from the recliner to the wheelchair. And we're holding on a pain relief appointment where they're going to, I can't remember what the name was. I just think I just told Jeannie, pain blockers in his spine, I think. And they know what's the matter with him. It's extreme arthritis, tendonitis, and a little plantar fasciitis. But there's nothing anybody can do. Surgery won't help, they said. So we've been... with his youngest son's help, we went to the emergency room a couple weeks ago, and they gave him about 4 different painkillers, steroids, muscle relaxants. But that stuff wears out, and they're not allowed to give you but so much. So since he missed an appointment for an ankle brace, we're going to reschedule that, and he's going to try to get the pain relief before he goes for that. So I just want you to know what's going on with him. He's watching us on the YouTube this morning. And I'm sure he's with all our prayers, for all our prayers, and please keep him in yours. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to follow that up with prayers for Janet, too. These situations are extremely difficult for the person involved because it becomes very discouraging. You question why God is letting this happen. And that's part of the lesson of life that we have to learn that we're doing here. And so I ask prayers for her. And and we certainly understand what you're going through with Robert. And it's a tough situation. One of the things that is hard in these circumstances to understand, but God is giving us, first of all, his blessing that we're his family. Our eternal destiny is guaranteed if we know Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is the down payment of our guarantee. And it is in these kinds of things that God works out his plan here on earth. And one of the most important things I think that we need to remember and really take home into our hearts is that, first of all, we don't deserve anything. And yet he is a God of mercy. It's interesting how, where I'm at in my sermon series, I'm talking about that this morning. It's incredible. And so, we will one day be with him, And we will look back on this, and as one person has said, I will be amazed at how little I suffered and how big my reward is. And we just have to keep that in focus so that we continue to press on and not give up.
We have a lot of people on the prayer list here. Some of them I just add myself to the list. I'm going to have a chemo starting Thursday. I don't know if I can take it or not. I had the same thing 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and I wasn't able to hold the chemo in long enough to do any good. So just your prayers for that I'll be able to endure it for the time. And after that, or before that, we'll have a meeting with a doctor, the urologist. There's only so much you can do with a cancer in the bladder. You know, you try to keep it contained in there so it doesn't get outside. Because if it gets outside the bladder, then you have to remove the bladder, and they won't do that for me. 6.5 hour operation. And I would not be a candidate for that. So we do our best to keep it in, and just keep our in my prayers. And Connie, you were talking about pain. You know, I don't like to take codeine and stuff like that. But I'll tell you, if you're in a situation where you're hurting so bad, it'll take anything they give you. You know, and I feel for Robert. So, also keeping prayers, Judy, my wife Judy. She's having trouble, like she has similar condition to Janet. She has a nerves that keep her from going to sleep, and when she goes to sleep, she wakes up again. And so she has to take this heavy pill that when he does go to sleep, sometimes he sleeps 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. You know, so it's either no sleep or a lot of sleep, one of the two. She has diabetes, and she has trouble. Yeah, and she has some dementia, and I won't get into detail on that, but she, you know, early stages, and she has some problems trying to keep, remember things, you know, like pills and stuff that are important. So she, you know, we kind of take care of each other in that regard. We do have somebody coming in during the day to help us out, and thanks to my decision years ago to buy long-term care insurance. I'm not trying to sell insurance, but in fact, my son said, why are you paying $130 for that each month? And that's many years ago, but now it's beginning to pay off, so we can use it. So let us pray. Father, we just have so many here on this list, but you know every need that we have, Lord, mine included. We just ask your continued blessing upon us, Lord, a grace that we certainly don't deserve, certainly haven't earned, but we're just so happy that we have you, that we can come to like this. And as a church family, as we pray up these people to you, lift them up to you, we pray for your grace and mercy to be with them and your healing mercies. And Robert and others that are in pain, and the doctors say they can't really do anything, we know you can. So that's why we come to you as the only one who can in some cases. And just ask your to be with all of us that are going through these trials, that they fully trust you and keep their eye on Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't like that. Wow. This has been quite a morning. And I also would like to express my thanks to the Lord. There was such an anointing on the music this morning, especially towards the last song, it was beautiful. There was just his presence was very strong. So I think you need to know he was here. There's a few things on communion, and I'm going to try to keep them in order. It's kind of hard for me to do that at my age, so I can't always keep using my age as an excuse, but I'm throwing it in there just in case. You know, the Lord said that he was coming back for a spotless bride. And I keep thinking about that and go, Lord, I don't know how you do that. And he reminded me that there were some issues that we can grow and mature in. His word is just so plain and it's so real. Thinking of Moses going and taking the Israelites across then through the water, and none was feeble. They walked. God was showing himself to those people all the way, and God was bringing them to the foot of the mountain. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus, he came, and he's taking us to the top of the mountain. And when he gathered with the disciples that night, there were so many things that he was trying to let them know, and yet they would come to pass. The night the disciples prepared for the Passover feast, and the disciples were sitting around the table, Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist, filled a basin with water, and then kneeling on the floor, began to wash and dry the disciples' feet like a servant. He was teaching us to be a servant to one another. The disciples were speechless. But when he knelt before Simon Peter, the disciple, he protested, Lord, you mustn't wash my feet. And Jesus replied gently, you do not understand what I am doing, but later it will be clear to you. Unless I wash your feet, you won't really belong to me. Then Peter begged him to wash his hands and his head. But Jesus answered, if you have bathed, then you only need your feet washed. You're already clean. Your body was cleansed. Then, like a servant, so that they could learn to do the same one for one another. Then Jesus knew he would soon have to leave his friends. He was sad, and soon they all were becoming troubled. Someone of you will betray me, he said. Well, he said, one of you will betray me. Sorrowfully, the disciples looked at one another in shock. They said, Who could this be? Is it possibly me? Then one who dips his bread into the same bowl, Jesus said softly, go and do what you have to do. And Judas left. But the others didn't understand. I think they thought because of him being the tax collector, he was just being sent out on a mission to do something. Then Jesus handed the same bread that he had broken, and he said, this is my body, which will be broken for you. Next, he passed around the cup of wine, saying, drink this. It is my blood, which will take away sin. And he then would soon be leaving them. Simon Peter cried out, "But Lord, where are you going? Why can't I follow you? I would really lay down my life for you. Would you, my friend?" asked Jesus. "And yet you will disown me three times before the cock crows." Peter was horrified. He felt this could never happen. So many things in just that setting that can show us we cannot do it without him, and how wonderful he was to prepare that special time before he left. And it wouldn't come to their reality until he did leave. And then he said he would send another helper. And thank God he did. But some of us, I don't know, I've done it myself, haven't paid attention to what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. Just thinking it was my own thoughts. But God meant it to help us. He is still with us in that form. He's here. And it's up to us to take this into the reality of our walk, that if we're going to follow him and be this bride that's to be cleansed, then we better listen and we start better to be obedient to what he says. He says, "We are not of this world." And yet, where are we? We're in the world, and some of us still act like we belong to the world. Well, God's cleansing us and getting us ready and prepared. We're in the wilderness, and we're going to go deeper and deeper into that wilderness. What does that mean? Turn off that TV. Oh, you can try. What are you watching? Oh, okay, you better double check yourself. God is serious. He's not playing around. He's trying to show us the only way we can pull ourselves out of the world is to be obedient to his word, and that he is Christ in us. Can we see Christ sitting around with a can of beer and watching the TV and doing all of those kind of things that they do in the world? No, that's not our God. Our God is not like that. He's holy. And our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, that shakes me up. I better check my temple. It better be clean. There can't be no cobwebs in there. There can't be any leftovers from the world. And let me tell you, it's a lifetime commitment and a lifetime cleaning. And so I encourage you, as God gets closer to his time to come, if we're not doing these things, I don't believe that we'll be with him, because no unholiness is going in to that, and our only holiness is him. It is him. Sometimes we think we're God, the I man, the I God. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in serenity and truth. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Joshua 24:14-15, that's your whole house, brothers and sisters. That's not just one over here in the corner. The head of the house representing God in the house. Listen, if we are becoming one with our husbands, then we need to truly, God says, if you get near to me, I'll get near to you. So here's, I always think of a seesaw. Larry was on this side and I was on this side, but we're getting closer to God. So the seesaw's not going like this anymore. It's going like this, and Jesus is pulling us in. And then we become that one. Our thoughts even start to be alike. It's just automatically. Why? Because of the Christ in the center. Well, praise God. We need that, especially in the wilderness. We need to know that there is a purpose for it, that God's going to bring us through. So here are the final words. Who will be God in your life? Will it be yourself, or will it be the God who created you? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:11-13. And Father, this morning as we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, we ask, Father, that you would do a cleansing in us, that you will show us, Lord God, the things that need to be cleansed and get free of them, Lord. And bind us together, Lord. Bind us as one people, because that's what we are. We're the one body of Christ. And Father, we might be small, but praise God, at least you're in the foundation and you're changing us and you're showing us how to be the people of God. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to work that in our hearts and to bring us to a unity so that when you do send somebody, Lord God, we know how to reach out to them. Not just tell them, come on down and say this and you're saved. Absolutely not. But they have to be discipled. We need to be discipled. Disciple one another. Look for a spiritual discipler to help you to grow. And never make, even to the pastors, the elders, never make anyone else your God. But listen the teaching and then go check it out. Go and see what God is saying to you. And so, Father, I just thank you for this time. And as you, the ushers come, I ask, Lord, you put an anointing on them as they even are serving you today. They're servants to us. And we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes. And we'll hold and take them together. We'll listen to the song.
To walk with.
The bread. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which was given for you. And then he took the cup and said, this is my blood that is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name.
I praise God for the way he works and the blessings that he brings. And we just continue to, as Sandy said, and as we know, keep God in first place in our lives. When we do that, he will make a way for everything that comes our way. We need to remember that. Well, the Lord is certainly blessing us. We have a very special offering already before we've even taken up any more. So I just give God the praise for the way he provides. Father, I just want to thank you, give you all the glory and the praise. And Jesus, I thank you because you are our eternal Savior and High Priest and Intercessor and Good Shepherd, and what a blessing. And in all of that, you have given us the greatest gift of all, which is your Holy Spirit. And we seek your filling and your presence so that we have the wisdom and the strength to persevere and carry out your plan for us. We commit these gifts to you. May they be used for your eternal purposes. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, as we're receiving the offering, let me just take a moment to make one point out of the bulletin. And if you haven't got a bulletin, make sure you pick up one back there on the table before you leave. But our Spanish Fellowship will be hosting a car wash here on this Saturday. So you want to get your car washed, you can bring it and then make a donation for the facility that we're trying to get built back here, and continue to keep praying that God's going to open the way for that to get completed. He's provided a lot already, and we just need him to get this process going so they can get started on the building and get it done before the cold weather gets here later on. So anyway, but I praise God for them, and especially for Eliseo and their eldership and the firm commitment they have to the truth, standing upon the Word of God and keeping Jesus in the right place. And so God has really blessed us as a fellowship to be united together. The only reason we don't meet in the same place right now, for one thing, is that they got a lot of people that don't understand English. They just speak Spanish. And if you ever get a chance to hear Eliseo speak Spanish, he is quite fluent. But when you hear him speak English, you wouldn't even know that he speaks Spanish. So he's quite a talented person. I praise God for him. Is there anything else we want to mention here before we dismiss for the children to go to their part? Well, okay, let's go ahead and dismiss the children, and then we will continue here with the preaching. Let me just mention, if you can make sure the recording gets started up there, since we sometimes don't get it on time. I have really been blessed in this study, going through the book of Nehemiah. I'll wait till... Okay, I think we're good to go here. Of course, you know, I've grown up as a Christian family. My mom and dad read a chapter of the Bible every night before we went to bed. So I've been through the Word of God more than once. That doesn't mean I know it. I forget things. But God has blessed me with a wonderful resource. I do remember key words and key ideas. So with my Logos Bible software program, I can search and find what I want. But there's still a blessing of going through the Word of God more than once, actually several times, the way the Spirit opens up things to us. And that's the way I've been blessed here. I just want to mention that in our last message, which was a week before Easter, Nehemiah, there we saw that the people had been brought together celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a feast that God required by law. They hadn't done that for at least 70 years because they had been in captivity. Now they've come back, and they are reestablishing these things. And so that feast concluded on the 22nd day of their month, which would be October 29th of our month. The next day they had a solemn assembly, which was also required by God's law, that concluded the feast. And Moses gave these instructions to them at that time when he instituted this. For 7 days you must present special gifts to Yahweh. The eighth day is another holy day on which you present your special gifts to Yahweh. This will be a solemn occasion, and no ordinary work may be done that day. These are Yahweh's appointed festivals. Celebrate them each year as official days for holy assembly by presenting special gifts to Yahweh, burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, and liquid offerings, each on its proper day. I didn't read all of it had been given, but the other feasts, Passover and Pentecost and other feasts, have been established in what Moses was saying here. So that's the reason for this kind of wrap-up. He goes on, these festivals must be observed in addition to Yahweh's regular Sabbath days, and the offerings are in addition to your personal gifts, the offerings you give to fulfill your vows and the voluntary offerings you present to Yahweh. Now that's Leviticus 23, verses 36 through 38. So they have completed this. In chapter 8, we're now moving on to chapter 9. And today we're going to read that chapter. And interestingly, because of what is being done here, I have to read the entire chapter because there's no way to break it up that I wanted to do. So there's 37 verses. But this is interesting because what we're hearing here in this discourse, the people are being reminded about what has happened to bring them to where they are now. So I've entitled this message, The People Confess Their Sins, and so let's begin reading here. Chapter 9, verse 1 of Nehemiah. On October 31, the people assembled again, and this time they fasted and dressed in burlap and sprinkled dust on their heads. Now, just so you know, in the Hebrew calendar, it had been the special day would have been the day before, which would have been the 30th by our calendar. And so now they're into this next session. And so they have come with this kind of a perspective, their display. Those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners as they confessed their own sins and the sins of their ancestors. They remained standing in place for 3 hours while the book of the law of Yahweh their God was read aloud to them. Maybe it would be good to read that when we're here for service. We don't go 3 hours. And it's interesting what happened here. And that's not the end of it. So then for 3 more hours, they confessed their sins and worshiped Yahweh their God. So that's a total of 6 hours. The Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunny, Sherebiah, Bani, and Kananiah, guess I'll get it right, stood on the stairway of the Levites and cried out to Yahweh their God with loud voices. Then the leaders of the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethaniah, called out to the people, "Stand up and praise Yahweh your God, for he lives from everlasting to everlasting." Then they prayed, "May your glorious name be praised. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are Yahweh. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. You are Yahweh God who chose Abram and brought him from Ur of the Chaldeans and renamed him Abraham. When he had proved himself faithful, you made a covenant with him to give him and his descendants the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites. And you have done what you promised, for you are always true to your word. You saw the misery of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. You displayed miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, his officials, and all his people, for you knew how arrogantly they were treating our ancestors. You have a glorious reputation that has never been forgotten. You divided the sea for your people so they could walk through on dry land. And then you hurled their enemies into the depths of the sea. They sank like stones beneath the mighty waters. You led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, so they could find their way. You came down at Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and instructions that were just, and decrees and commands that were good. You instructed them concerning your holy Sabbath. And you commanded them through Moses, your servant, to obey all your commands, decrees, and instructions. You gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry, and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land you had sworn to give them. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry and rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them, even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, 'This is your God who brought you out of Egypt.' They committed terrible blasphemies, but you, in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Then you helped our ancestors conquer kingdoms and nations, and you placed your people in every corner of the land. They took over the land of King Sihon and Heshbon and the land of King Og of Bashan. You made their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and brought them into the land you had promised to their ancestors. They went and took possession of the land. You subdued whole nations before them. Even the Canaanites who inhabited the land were powerless. Your people could deal with these nations and their kings as they pleased. Our ancestors captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took over houses full of good things with cisterns already dug and vineyards and olive groves and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate until they were full and grew fat and enjoyed themselves in all your blessings. But despite all this, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who warned them to return to you, and they committed terrible blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies, who made them suffer. But in their time of trouble, they cried to you, and you heard them from heaven. In your great mercy, you sent them liberators who rescued them from their enemies. But as soon as they were at peace, your people again committed evil in your sight, and once more you let their enemies conquer them. Yet whenever your people turned and cried to you again for help, you listened once more from heaven. In your wonderful mercy, you rescued them many times. You warned them to return to your law, but they became proud and obstinate and disobeyed your commands. They did not follow your regulations, by which people will find life if only they obey. They stubbornly turned their backs on you and refused to listen. In your love, you were patient with them for many years. You sent your spirit who warned them through the prophets, but still they wouldn't listen. So once again, you allowed the peoples of the land to conquer them. But in your great mercy, you did not destroy them completely or abandon them forever. What a gracious and merciful God you are. And now our God, the great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love, do not let all the hardships we have suffered seem insignificant to you. Great trouble has come upon us and upon our kings and leaders and priests and prophets and ancestors, all of your people, from the days when the kings of Assyria first triumphed over us until now. Every time you punish us, you were being just. We have sinned greatly, and you gave us only what we deserved. Our kings, leaders, priests, and ancestors did not obey your law or listen to the warnings in your commands and laws. Even while they had their own kingdom, they did not serve you, though you showed your goodness on them. You gave them a large, fertile land, but they refused to turn from their wickedness. So now today we are slaves in the land of plenty that you gave our ancestors for their enjoyment. We are slaves here in this good land. The lush produce of this land piles up in the hands of kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They have power over us and our livestock. We serve them at your pleasure, and we are in great misery. The people responded, "In view of all of this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders and our Levites and our priests are affixing their seals to it." Actually, that's through verse 38. I added that verse after I put this in my notes, so I didn't have it quite right here on my opening. What a discourse. What a history lesson. But you know what amazed me as I went through that? Is how often they mention God's marvelous grace and his wonderful love. You know, if people recognize this about God, it will move them to repent and turn back so that his promises can be fulfilled. But unfortunately, too often, people are more interested in what they want instead of what God wants. And the amazing thing is he still continues to demonstrate his amazing grace. So that's where I want to go from that point. God's grace demonstrated in their history. And he has certainly done the same thing for us, demonstrated in our history. And even though it looks like, you know, we're on a path for destruction, we don't know. We don't know how soon Jesus is going to come back, although it's pretty close, I think. And we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. But the one thing that we do know is that God is merciful, and he is always working to bring people to him. This was an amazing event that took place. They are standing there for several hours after the law has been read. And then after they had spent 3 hours confessing their sins, then the Levites began to read this history, or at least to share it. They read whether it had been written down or what, but they went through it in a discourse that was quite detailed and quite accurate. And so even though they had been disobedient, they had come to the place where even now they don't have the liberty that they had had before they went into captivity. They are still understanding that God is graciously working to help them to get to where He wants them to be. So because of all this, they are continuing to experience His marvelous grace, and they are acknowledging it, and they are seeking to follow His will. So, as they took time to reflect upon these things and see just how gracious and compassionate God had been and how He was continuing to be, they realized out of their experience of their years of captivity and now their redemption that God was bringing them back to, first, how they were to blame for what had happened, and yet God was not holding it against them. This is the one thing that is so good for us to remember is that God wants to forgive us, He wants to restore us, and He wants to help us through our circumstances. I think one of the great lessons that comes out here is the wonderful testimony that the Hebrew writer gives us when he gives us this list about these people and how God showed His mercy. Let me begin by starting here. This is in the chapter 10, verse 35 of Hebrews. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous one will live by faith. Now, I just want to stop. It's interesting. These writers aren't wrong. You know, when you realize how God measures time and the Holy Spirit is guiding them, how long has it been for God? Just a couple of days since Jesus was here. And His timetable is very different from ours, and He is working out details that need to be worked out for His eternal purposes and for our benefit. So even though He's said just a little while, that's really true. It is just a little while. So continuing, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. This is God speaking. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable sacrifice to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed His approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. That's chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 35 through 11, 6. Now I want to talk just a little bit about this faith, because a lot of people like to say, oh, this is just blind faith. No, it's not. It is absolutely not blind faith. This faith is trusting completely in the one who has demonstrated His power and righteousness and marvelous grace throughout history. There is no question about God having done these things, and that God exists, and that He is the true God, and you can know this for certain. He's given us enough evidence to prove it. And if people doubt it, it is their own problem. It is not because they have actually done the searching. You know, it amazes me. We have two great books that have been written because of people who were atheists, and they wanted to prove to their good friends. One of them was a married man, and he wanted to prove to his wife that she had become a Christian. He wanted to show her how foolish she was. And not only did he become a Christian, he's still living. He's still actively involved in writing about God and the marvelous things that God has done and is still doing. So the key for us is to understand that what the writer is saying here is because we must trust him. We must put our trust in him and stand on that, not doubting, because you can get to the place where you don't doubt. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind about God and my future. None. And that is because of two things. One is the evidence, and the other is the Holy Spirit that lives in me. He now gives me that confidence. When the Scriptures tell us that he is the guarantor of our faith, we need to understand that and realize that it becomes a reality. This isn't just some fantasy. You know, I have to say that when I was a young boy at the age of 11, I had a dream one night, and Jesus appeared. It was a setting. Some of you have heard this. Jesus was a school bus driver, and he got up, and he said, "Well, I've decided who I'm going to take to heaven with me," and he did not call my name. I got up the next morning, and I realized I needed to accept Jesus. Well, my teaching was is you couldn't accept Jesus until you had been baptized. And so my dad could have taken me out there and baptized me in our hog water, or 300 gallons of water, but he decided to take me all the way up to Butler, Missouri. My dream was on Tuesday. I never forgot this. And the amazing thing is I also know what day of the month it was, February the 18th, which is the same day as my wife's birthday. So God was already working, I guess, in divine providence. But nevertheless, when I came up out of the water, I knew the Holy Spirit was real. And it was an incredible thing because I wasn't taught that. What I was taught is that the Holy Spirit just is more of a representative idea that the Bible tells us, but he isn't really in you. That was what we were taught. But the reality is he is real. He is just as real as anything else. Now, it's like Jesus said, he's like the wind. You're not going to be able to identify him in a physical way. No, this is a spiritual identity. It is his spirit bearing witness with our spirit. And we need to come to the place where we know that is the case. So, when we have that kind of faith, then we're able to live the way God wants us to live, or at least to get on the right path so we're moving in the right direction and carrying out what he wants us to do. Now, it's interesting that the Hebrew writer continues with this, and I'm sure if you've read the story, you know. But he says, after discussing these examples that he gives of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, even the prostitute Rahab, who hid the spies when they were entering the land, is mentioned here, which I think is quite instructive because it demonstrates just how marvelous God's grace is. These people, I mean, Abraham was a great man of faith, but here's this prostitute who hid those spies so they could get out, and she is one of the few, if not the only one, that entered into the promised land with the children of Israel. So anyway, after he says all this, he goes on to say this: "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. And others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. I just want to stop there a moment because he doesn't mention a specific sin. You know why? Because we each have different things that trip us up. We each have weaknesses in the flesh that we have to deal with. And what he is saying is we need to be released from that. And so he said, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. That's Hebrews 11:32 through chapter 12, verse 1. Well, because of all of this, it would lead God to do this. God's marvelous grace demonstrated at the cross. You know, one of the things that is so amazing about this particular point is that God would do this. Now, it must have been necessary. No one would choose this as just kind of an optional trip. And it was necessary. It was the only way for him to deal with our sin. And that's the thing we have to realize. You know, when Paul wrote his letter to the church at Corinth, he was dealing with people who thought they were superior to others. So here's what he says about these things. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. It's a quote from Isaiah 29:14. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. It is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him the wisdom itself, to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. Quote from Jeremiah 9:24. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ and the one who was crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:18-2. I'm going to ask you guys upstairs if you would not be talking loud. Okay? I'm hearing you all the way down here, and I'm sure everybody else is. Okay, let me continue now. Get out of that distraction. Well, Paul was obviously an intelligent person. In fact, he wrote the majority of the New Testament. And he could have been led to depend upon his own ability. Instead, he chose only to focus on Jesus. So while he knew that the Corinthians were people who thought they were superior to lower class people, when Paul came to them, he preached only Christ and him crucified. He didn't use high-sounding language or anything else. The only thing he wanted to impress them with was the gospel. So he went on to say this, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. So that's another impressive thing that we pick up in these things, is that this plan that God had was before He even started things here. And you say, well, why? Well, it's because of who God is. And God is a God of love. That's the motivation He has. That's the reason why He wants a relationship with you and me. And that's the mystery that's unfolded when we understand it. So anyway, we continue. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Another quote from Isaiah 64, 4. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything, even the deep things of God. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 12. Now, I just want to add my testimony to that. The reality is that it is a marvelous journey when we keep that kind of focus, seeking God to open our minds, to give us His wisdom, not our own, understanding that the Spirit can give us the insight and the knowledge that we need to know how to live our life, to stay focused on what we need to stay focused on, and to carry out the mission. Does it mean that we will do it perfectly? No. We will constantly be stumbling and falling, but the great thing is that He will help us right back up. We will learn a lesson, and we will become more prepared for the next event that comes along so that we will not be discouraged. We will keep our focus on the things that are most important. In fact, I heard a song today that I would like to get a copy of it. I think the title, well, I didn't remember the title, but it was really a great song. I was listening to WFLS, so they play country and western music, which I like. But anyway, this song said, "The only thing that matters is that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that His blood has been applied so that we can have salvation, and that our name is written in the book of life. So when Jesus comes, He will call our name because He knows us." And that was a song that went a lot more detail, but I thought it was really great. And it really is the key. So if we understand that, then here is the great news for us. God continues to demonstrate His marvelous grace in us and through us. You know, some people think, well, God's on vacation. He's not really doing anything now. Well, that's just wrong. Jesus is still just as active as our good shepherd, and He is constantly interceding for us as our eternal high priest. While we may be going through difficult circumstances in this life, and we will, we need to remember that Jesus has promised to always be with us, and He will help us through the circumstances. He's given us His Holy Spirit, who is our guide and our strength. And so we can be constantly seeking His presence and helping us to deal with this life. And by the way, that's an intangible process. It's not something, I just want to emphasize that. It's not something you're going to find out physically. You don't need to go to a college to get a degree. I have a Bible college degree, but that's not the key for me. And I hardly ever mention that. It doesn't matter. You wouldn't know the school anyway. Indiana Christian University, who's heard of that? No one. I don't think it's in existence anymore. That doesn't matter. We need to make sure that the one we're getting our degree from or our education from is the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul tells us this in his letter to the Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Great passage. It'd be a good one to memorize. Keep it in focus because it is the reality if we understand it and we are practicing it. We're following it. It becomes the way we can live so that we have the victory in Jesus no matter what is going on in our life. Doesn't mean that things are going to become rosy. No, it just means that we will be able to endure and persevere, and one day it'll be more than worth it. You know, when Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians, he was praying for them to have the wisdom that the Spirit gives them so they could be fruitful. Here's what he said. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We constantly ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Well, as I wrap this message up, all these wonderful benefits that we have are because of God's marvelous grace. We have his marvelous grace abundantly because of his wonderful and marvelous love for us. And of course, Jesus has demonstrated this in the most dramatic way by coming to this earth, living as a servant, and ultimately redeeming us by dying on the cross to pay for our sins. That's one of the things that really needs to sink home. There is no other way to God, and it's the only way because he would have done it differently if there was another way. There was no other way. And when we realize that, what an incredible thing it is that we have this opportunity to do and be and know what we know. So let us be encouraged, no matter what the circumstances are that we're going through, because we have the guarantee of an eternal, wonderful future. This is the great promise that the gospel gives us. I close with this last scripture. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believe and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians 4:13-18. What another wonderful, great scripture, and one that we need to keep in mind as we live in this life. Doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. They're not. But they will not compare to what our future holds for us. And when we keep that focus, we will not be discouraged or give up. I leave it there. Greg, you can come and dismiss us with prayer. Is the microphone there? I'm sorry. I forgot to pick it up.
Yep, I love Peter. Always need a reminder. I know you know these things. But anyway, I just want to encourage you with the words that we heard this morning and heard in Sunday school class and throughout the week, that we take it throughout the week and be a light in this perverse and crooked generation. There are many obstacles coming against us as believers, and the devil wants no more than us to be faint-hearted and lose our faith and not go to church and all those things. But we are here for one another. We want to build up and encourage you, and I want you to build up and encourage me. You know, it's reciprocal, you know, that we help one another. I mean, Jesus came down from the cross. He came down from heaven. You know, he was on his throne, comfortable as can be, but he desired fellowship with us. And this week, share what God has done with you to somebody that don't know Christ or somebody that's struggling in their faith, that they may see the hope that is within you. When we see Tom come up here this morning with all that he's been going through, that should give us hope and cheer, you know, that, hey, if he can do it for Tom, he can surely do it for us. You know, and there's been many others. If he can do it for Janet, he can do it for us. He can do it for the Winehearts, he can do it for us. You know, many of us have illnesses. Do it for Jeannie, he can do it for us. You know, those are, and for Marilyn, you know, can hardly walk, but still able to come in here and fellowship with the Lord. We have many things that we would love to do to build up and encourage you. And I have Aaron and Alicia here this morning, you know, they always, we thank God for them, but they have some young children and I know that's been a struggle for them, and we want to be able to serve them in that way, you know, and if anybody wants to volunteer where it's not always the same day every week, you know, they got a 4-year-old and they got 1 and a 2-year-old. If someone wants to volunteer for, you know, maybe once a week, you know, and have a list out to, you know, for any young, because a couple months ago, someone came in with some young ones and I was like dumbfounded. He goes, "Oh, I hear that you have stuff for," and I'm like, and I don't want to be that. I want to be able to serve the community. I want us to be able to serve the community. So if you want to, I'm going to put out a list next week. I mean, it could be once a month, I mean, and so that it's not a burden on one individual, because we want to be able to have Alicia and Aaron in here together listening to the sermon, being able to fellowship and stuff like that, and then others who come in. So that's an announcement I'd like to make. And also we have some junior hires who are kind of in the room with Vicky and Mike, which is fine, but we need to get them kind of separated also, so that, because they're in a different mindset now, and we want to be able to minister to them separately than with the elementary school. So that's something to pray about. That's the reason why we have prayer meeting on Sunday nights, is to pray about these issues and other issues to build up the body. So I encourage you to come tonight, if you don't come, to come to the prayer, so that we can pray over these things, that God will move in the way that he wants to move in this congregation. You know, we're small, but yet we have people who have been coming for months now and seem to have made a home here. And we thank God for each and every one of you. And I also want to encourage you, Wednesday nights, we have the Wednesday night study. We're still in Malachi, and I think we'll be going into Exodus after that, if it hadn't changed. We're in Exodus. Oh, okay, so you did finish up. All right, so we're going to be in Exodus this week. So it would be great. Come join us from 6:30 to 8 is when we have it. And then also Saturdays, we have morning session with Kathy and Jeannie with Demolishing Strongholds. And then we have a fellowship dinner and a study, which we're in 1 Samuel on Saturdays. And if you want to come, bring something to share with others, but you don't have to. It's not, well, I don't have anything. You come because we'll always have enough. And I just want to close this in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for your mercy and grace and loving kindness. And we just love you, Lord, and we praise you, Father, and we thank you how you work, Lord. Father, you are a great and awesome God, and we don't want to have anything cause us, Father, to shrink away from you, Lord, but we want to continue to rise forward and be built up and strengthened so that we can be out there in that world, Lord, and draw people to you, Father, by how you've helped us, Father, in our testimony, Father, that you've given us, Father, through the years. Lord, may we, Father, this week, Father, you put someone in our path, Lord, that we can be able to share the truth, the love, and the hope of Christ Jesus our Lord, Father, and that they would come to the saving knowledge of you. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your holy name. Now, go out with joy and be led forth with peace. In Jesus' name, amen.